Well, moving from finance to the equally cutthroat world of football, there has been huge speculation that Roy Keane may well become the next manager of Glasgow Celtic Football Club. The question is, what challenges might he face financially at the club? And just what is the Celtic Football Club business doing at the moment, and how is it performing, particularly for its biggest shareholder, Dermot Desmond? Well, I'm joined by Mark Paul, who is the business correspondent with the Irish Times. And from Scotland, we're joined by Hugh MacDonald, chief sports writer with the Glasgow-based Herald newspaper. Hugh, if I could go to you first. Is Celtic in good financial health?
Yes, it's very stable. The Peter Lowell, the chief executive, and Ian Bankey, the chairman, would tell you after the last figures where they posted a 21 million pre-tax profit that they've never been more stable, never been more financially well, shall we say. But that's not to say there's not what the business world called huge challenges for Celtic. I mean, turnover was down. I mean, Celtic turnover in a Champions League year is usually 40 to 50 million, but they had to sort of pare season ticket prices a bit, so that they've had to react to a changing world, to a changing financial world. But the bottom line is that they're still okay.
But it must be quite unique to have a football club owned, or, you know, largely owned by a billionaire who actually wants to try and make some money and run it in a reasonably responsible way, as opposed to playing with it and losing lots of money, as with Roman Abramovich and lots of others.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dermot Desmond sort of slightly went down that route under Martin O'Neill, and that's quite an interesting sort of circle as Roy Keane is sort of brought into the discussion, because I mean, Dermot Martin O'Neill was very significantly Dermot's choice. He was Dermot's friend, and Martin spent very heavily at Celtic, and that had to be sort of slightly bailed out by Dermot Desmond, and also sort of led to a sort of period of, austerity, I would say, under Strachan and Neil Lennon. Certainly a period of realistic spending as against incoming revenues. And it's interesting that I would imagine that Roy Keane, if he is appointed Celtic manager, would be Dermot Desmond's choice, and he would be the proactive kingmaker in that case.
And we know he's been talking directly to Dermot Desmond.
Exactly. Exactly, and I would just imagine, I think if Roy Keane comes to Celtic, the whole business model of the club would be under scrutiny, because I think he might be quite surprised at how tight, and how stringent the financial constraints will be after, Roy has managed in the English Premier League, where 10, 12 million pound transfers are looked upon as minor gambles.
So he might not be given the money. Mark Paul, Dermot Desmond presumably didn't buy into Celtic Football Club just simply as an investment to make money. There are lots of other things he could do and has done to make money out of them. But I'm sure if you look at how he has run it, he doesn't want to lose a lot of money there either. How much has he put in? Is he ahead on his investment, or is he down on his investment?
I suppose until he cashes it in and there's a value put in the club, we'll never know. But he's spoken many, many times in the past about how Celtic is an emotional investment, and that's not a normal investment, and he doesn't take money out of the club. So he doesn't take an annual return on it, apart from his £25,000 director fees that he gets the same as everybody else. So Dermot Desmond doesn't speak a lot about most of his investments. I mean, he's quite a reserved man, but Celtic is the investment he's spoken about the most. He seems to have a real disdain for the buy now, pay later culture. That's that's wreaking havoc really across the English game. I mean, there's going to be corpses of English clubs will be littering the field in the years to come. I mean, look at what's happened to Cardiff, up and down, and operating at the whims of particular individuals. So I think Dermot Desmond's approach to Celtic has been, as a supporter of the club, he would argue that it's an institution, and institutions really, they should outlive all the personalities around them.
I mean, other high profile Irish investors have put money in as well. Dennis O'Brien.
Dermot Desmond originally invested in around about 1995. And Dennis O'Brien came in on one of the later share issues. He is about a 5% or 3% shareholding. And Dermot Desmond was originally asked to put in £4 million, and he took one look at the balance sheet and he says, actually, you don't need £4 million, you need £8 million. So I'll invest £4 million and I'll underwrite another four. And he's topped up his stake many times since, and he's now just below 30%. And it's felt that he's unlikely ever really to go much higher than that, because there's a feeling amongst the Celtic hierarchy that the ownership structure of the club now, a lot of power is vested in Desmond's hands, no doubt about it. But theoretically, he could be blocked by other shareholders. As to whether or not that would happen, that's a different kettle of fish.
Hugh, one of the financial blows for Celtic was when things imploded at Rangers, because they always had sellout games, very good for TV rights, all of that. Has that impacted much financially on the club?
Well, yes, to an extent that, there's obviously an impact from Rangers. It's not just the sort of Rangers and Celtic game. It's actually what Rangers bring to the party in terms of competitiveness in the league. I mean, the interesting thing about that will be, how many people will buy season tickets for a league, frankly, that is over just before it starts. I mean, we know the Celtic are going to win the league next year. Nobody's going to seriously debate that. But the most important thing for Celtic is not Rangers. The most important thing for Celtic is the Champions League. It's as simple as that. If Celtic get into the group stages of the Champions League, everything is fine. They get £20 million for that. That's a huge chunk of their turnover. It could be up to 40% of their turnover. It engages the fans as well, emotionally and psychologically. So the most important part of the whole year for Celtic is July and August, because that's the time they have the Champions League qualifiers. So their whole season is in a sort of microcosm of three Champions League qualifiers. If they get through them, you can see Peter Lowell and Ian Bankia and whoever's the manager of Celtic have a collective sigh of relief around about the beginning of August. We're in the group stages of the Champions League. The season is a success.
But you're running the club on relatively, tight or responsible purse strings. Many clubs are not very responsible about it. Could be very frustrating for any manager, because every time they develop a player, that player shows that they're a very valuable commodity. They're sold on.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to buy into this Celtic model, because it's such a sensible model. Let's take, what Peter Lowell calls little gems. Let's shine them up. Let's sell them on. Everybody's happy that, this is a really great financial model. And even sort of on an intellectual level, somebody like Neil Lennon would buy into that. I mean, Neil Lennon was an intelligent, articulate man at Celtic. He knew that this was the only possible game in town, that this was a very viable business model. But that's all right until it comes to actually, just before the Champions League last year, where he loses his centre half, his best midfield player, and his best striker. And then when he approaches the Champions League this year, and we can never make predictions, but I think it would be almost certain that Celtic will sell in the summer. And it's probably the likeliest people to sell is the goalkeeper and the centre half again. In this case, Fraser Foster and Virgil van Dijk.
And that'll bring in some good money for them. Mark, just how big a factor is that, let's say, for Roy Keane? If you look at the teams he's managed, he spent a lot of money at Sunderland. He's going to want to spend money. He might not be allowed.
I mean, when he was at Sunderland and also when he joined Ipswich, it was a completely different situation at Celtic. And both clubs were going for promotion to get into the Premier League, to get into the big time, to earn the big bucks. And so there was a certain goal, and he had a galvanising effect. Celtic is a little bit different. I mean, it's about treading water. I mean, as Hugh said, nobody's going to dispute that Celtic's going to win the league. So nobody's going to break the bank for him. And there's no real point in anyone breaking the bank for him, because the potential returns from a financial point of view, there just aren't there. I mean, they just can't earn the money in Scotland. I mean, if you look at Celtic's revenues over the last number of years, they yo-yo. They go from 72 million in 2009 down to 61, down to 52, to 51, back up to 75. When they got to the last 16. But Celtic's real problem at the moment, and probably what will have the biggest impact on the transfer budget of whether it's Roy Keane or anybody else, is declining home attendance numbers. Kind of the average home league attendance at Celtic has gone from 57,000 in 2009 49, down to 53, to 49, down to 46 in last year. Average season ticket sales, and season ticket sales were always traditionally very, very high at Celtic.
Hugh, what about that point? Much as that is maybe a bit of recession in Scotland or in Northern Ireland or in the Republic of Ireland, where a lot of people attend, from where a lot of people go to games. And much of it is maybe just, you know, this is over before it begins.
Yeah, there's a bit of both, and what I think this is over before it begins is the more pertinent one. As Mark said, the whole thing, if Celtic were playing in the Championship in England, not the Premier League in England, but the Championship in England next year, you would not be able to get, I can guarantee you, you would not be able to get a season ticket. 60,000 season tickets would be sold. If you give Celtic supporters the product, they will turn up. You cannot get a Champions League group stage ticket, for example. They sell them out, you know, 60,000 all the time. And as Mark says, I mean, you can give a manager money if you're going to gamble. If you're at Ipswich and you say, there's the promised land of the Premier League that gives us 60 million a year in television revenues alone, if we finish bottom, we can punt out 40 million in transfers to have a go at that. But if you've got, if you're at Celtic and you say, we have a television revenue of 1 million, we've got declining season ticket sales, we're in a league which doesn't pay us any money, you're not, there is no incentive to take a gamble.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Hugh MacDonald and Mark Paul, thanks for joining us on the programme.